Justice Tyler Lahosky will lead us this evening.
We begin our prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you for all the blessings and opportunities you've given the people in this room. Thank you for this wonderful county we live in, the wonderful state, and the wonderful nation that we have the opportunity and the privilege to live in and to be a part of. Lord, be with us as we, as a body, make decisions and deliberate on the things before us.
Amen. The flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So you see it. Mr. Chairman, please call the roll, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison. Coates. Present. Hendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Meese.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson. Shaw.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Yorgi.
Here.
11 present. So there is a quorum. Right, members of the court. Next, if you will look at tab number one, if you've not already done so, that's the journal. And I'll accept a motion to approve the journal as presented.
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Motion second. Are there any additions or deletions or changes? Hearing none, all in favor of approval as presented, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the journal will be approved as presented. Next, tab number two, county officers' reports. Let's begin with county clerk. That report is available as always. If you have any questions, see our county clerk, Margaret Darden. Treasurer's report. Ms. Jennifer Massey is here representing our treasurer, Scott Sands.
Good evening, everyone. The treasurer's reports are in your binder, and if you have any questions about those, then I would be happy to address anything you have or get with Scott.
Any questions for Mrs. Massey? Moving right along, sheriff's report. Chief Chad Woolley is here to give that.
For May 2025, our unit 1 capacity was around 148, our unit 2 male was 141, females at 79, our juveniles at 13. We had 420 intakes, 137 releases. Average ADC was about 19. I know we talked about that kind of last month, seeing those numbers trend down. There's still other counties across the state that are willing to take ADC inmates. So, you know, we're always overcrowded, so we're pushing them through. Our patrol total number of calls dispatched 1,767, 89 violent crimes domestics, 58 criminal mischiefs, 90 animal calls. There's 8 animal citations, 3 warnings, and our reserve unit put in 568 hours last month. Criminal Investigation Division assigned 63 cases, closed 21. And our transport division looks like 88 total trips, and you can see the breakdown of those transports. That's all of that. If you got any questions?
Any questions for Chief Woolley?
Judge.
Yes.
The inmate releases, that's kind of a crazy
job. Yeah, and I just noticed that when I was sitting back there. I would almost say that there may be system error there, because usually it's pretty close.
Yeah. Okay.
It's usually within a few. So.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Justice Lyon. Any other questions? Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Next on County Officer Reports, continuing the County Administrator Randy Higgins.
Thank you, Your Honor. But a couple of projects I want to give an update on. First is the courthouse facelift. The paint and carpet work is just about finished. I think they're just doing some trim work on the painting. The arch windows, which are the big windows in courtroom A and courtroom B, are on order. So those windows are actually being replaced. They have to manufacture those because they're custom windows. So they're on order, should be here sometime this month. Furniture is on order. I really want to brag on Verco. They're working with us very diligently on the chairs. We're going to have some nice chairs for you guys around the new bench. Y'all have new chairs. they are donating the conference table in courtroom B. So I thought that was very well of them to participate in the community. So good for Verco. We're currently working on the square windows. So the square windows are all the windows except for the big arch ones. Those are not being replaced. They're putting those, preparing those as needed. Initially, the replacing all the windows in the building was part of the plan, but it was out of the money, so they're actually doing some repair work on those. They've done several of them on the ground floor. They look really, really good. I'm pleased with that. Sound system upgrades are on order, so they're coming. And then the initial punch list inspection will be next week. We'll probably have a couple of punch list inspections, but the first one will be next week, where we walk around with the architect and the contractors to see if there's any issues we have concerns about. Any questions about the courthouse? Quick update about the jail expansion. So the I mentioned last month we had our 60% plan review. Last month, where the judge's office and sheriff's office met with the engineers, architects, and Nat Holtz Construction, who is the project manager for that job. And so since then, they have sent out the plans based on the suggestions that we made. The sheriff's office is reviewing the plans to see if there's any changes that they want to make. You know, small changes about a door here or a door there or moving things around. So they're looking at that. We anticipate that the project will go out for bid in early July. The goal is before the 4th of July, but if not, just right after, so really, really early in July. If it goes out that early after bid, we anticipate having a contract potentially by September the 1st, and we might go break ground and get working in October. Any questions about the jail? Any questions about anything for me? Great. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Randy. Road interviews, Mr. Chair, Thomas.
Thank you, Your Honor. To turn to page 4 of the ARP report. The PPE that we're getting for the fire stations, we've got all but one station complete. And that shouldn't be too much longer and we'll have the whole project done. We haven't colored the Potter County Animal Shelter on the next page complete yet. We're still waiting for a few small bills to come in before we say that's complete. The ARP, that, those are the highlights. Everything I'm pretty comfortable with being on track to be expended on time by the end of 26. We've asked for plans with times and amounts for the rest of the expenditures people have to spend, so we're feeling pretty decent about that. Subject to questions, that's all my ARP report. Okay. On the road report, it's the summer lull for asphalt. The contractors are working on the state jobs right now, so we don't have any asphalt to talk about except a small amount on South Bolden Hill Bridge. The bridge is all but complete. We have to finish the guardrails. Those are about 75% complete. We've got to put some beams on them, and then strap it. We'll be finished with that. But that's all I have for the road report, unless there's any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Justice, next on our agenda is standing committee reports, and we'll start at the end with infrastructure, Justice Knight.
Yes, Your Honor, infrastructure didn't meet this month. However, things continue to progress along with the museum. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes there. And then we're still looking forward to the road ordinance or classification from Justice Lyon.
Justice. And next, Courts and Public Safety, Justice Coates.
Thank you, Your Honor. Courts and Public Safety has two different things coming before the court tonight. The proposed ordinance 2519, which is the alarm station alcohol ordinance, as well as proposed resolution 2507, which is the 250th celebration. So we'll discuss those in just a little while. And I don't know when you want to do it, but I know that our animal shelter director is here to give just a quick update on intakes, outtakes on how the animal shelter has gone so far. So
sure,
do
that
now.
Yeah, right now.
This is our administrator, Nick Davis.
We didn't have anything going on. So in the last 2.5 months, we had 99 intakes as of today. All of that just went up to 101 this afternoon, just before I left, just a few more animals. We are working with several rescues to also process animals preemptively. So we're finding cases that are reported cases out in the county, preemptively going out and doing vet checks, just in case we end up having to take those dogs at any point. So they come in already ready to adopt. So we're kind of preemptively seeking out those cases. I have a handout here for you. This sort of breaks down the numbers. The intake volume is about 1.4 animals per day. And that's been since we opened. That's not every day. Obviously, that could be zero animals in a week, and then we get 10 in a week. So it kind of varies. Some of our bigger cases are getting almost 6 to 8 dogs at a time, often puppies or kittens. Average length of stay overall is around 30 days, which is actually quite a bit lower than we expected. Turnover rates are going pretty well. We have rescues coming out to help, taking in volunteers and a lot of adoptees. A lot of our sponsors are taking in adoption money, so the adoptions to the community are being free. So somebody can donate, let's say, $500 to cover adoption fees, and we spread that to the community. So that's helping out with the numbers quite a bit. Our outcome numbers are 65 total so far. 33 of those are adoptions. We have a 26% euthanasia rate. That's overall. So we have euthanized for space two animals in that visit. That is less than 3%. So our euthanasia rates happen to be recently at Fargo outbreak with 5 puppies that broke the Fargo. Once they get to a certain level, it's easier and safer for the animals to euthanize at that point. We had several medical cases, 5 cases, and aggressive dogs. So the majority of those numbers are obviously not something that we can control. We have only had to euthanize for space on 2 occasions. We're doing really well, a lot better than they expected with the number of 10 animals that we had. There in the bottom, you have a breakdown for those if you need to see those information numbers. The building is going great. Randy Higgins has been helping me with minor issues we've had, just minor door creakings. We've had rain come through a light on the porch that's already been taken care of. They're been on top of all that. So, maintenance has been really, really well done. The building is only really nice. Any questions?
Questions for Dave?
I just have one quick question, maybe a comment. Could you be prepared maybe at about the 6 month mark? I'd like to be able to look at the money, you know, as far as what y'all's anticipated expenses were versus what your actual expenses were at that 6 month mark or something like that.
We have the income that we're making from the adoption so far. We obviously can't count donations towards those adoptions to assign income, so that doesn't count towards that. We've made so far about $2,200 just on intakes. So it's adoption fees, quarantine fees, and that kind of stuff. I can get with our treasurer from our Park County Animal Coalition Board and she numbers 6 months apart. I'm also due at the end of the month to submit a report to the judge for those numbers anyway, so it will have an approximation at that point.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Nick, thank you. And I think, okay, go ahead, Justice Shirley.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you very much for this update. It's really helpful to be able to quantify what you're doing. I hear the numerics and I see the social media feed. I also wanted to give a shout out to your staff that's doing the social media. It's really, really well done.
Excellent. That would be my shelter manager, Caitlin Brito. Amazing. And she's on top of all that stuff. She's really good at, when we call it selling dogs, it's not exactly what we're doing, but she's really good at being a car seller for animals.
Yeah, and celebrating the successes that you're having along the way. So congrats on that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's appropriate to step back and, you know, we're interested in detail for sure. Certainly, if you've had questions, Justice Coates actually asked you, I guess, to come give a report. And so you see an appetite for that. At the same time, I would challenge us to be aware, you know, we crossed that threshold from 15 years of long, arduous path toward this, decided what I believe to be the best approach. I believe other counties will copy this. We've already got one county interested. Faced with the same sorts of issues, it's appropriate for our court to understand here we are a few months into this, and you see no red flags. So if you've ever gotten anything off the ground or taken a big step, you know, the unknown, the fear is that you go off the rails somewhere. We're not seeing that. I want to thank you, Dick, and everyone who works for you, the board, Justice Coach, Randy, anyone who had anything to do with it thus far. I think right now we can take a deep breath. The work's not finished, but you can see in the right direction. See where you're going. and you've got this wonderful asset that is entirely appropriate for Fargo County, Arkansas in 2025. It's really a platform that you can use to go do great things while keeping it appropriate for the government who's contracted with you to use the government's facility and maintaining that capacity for dangerous animals that they wanted to fund the ability to handle. So certainly appreciate it. Thank you, Chief Woolley, Sheriff's Department cooperation there. If I left anybody out, I apologize, but you know, the main takeaway right now, here we sit June 17, 2025, is there have been no dumpster fires. And that's a huge testament to getting something that was high risk, a lot of passion surrounding full range of the spectrum. If you've been involved with larger projects, like being a brand new endeavor to handle animal control from the county standpoint, you should probably internalize a little bit and pat yourself on the back for setting policy, providing the funding, all of which was supremely appropriate. And so there have been no dumpster fires, newspapers, TV stations here. There will be mistakes along the way. It's unavoidable in any effort of any size at all. But the main thing is there have been no huge red flags. It's gone off just as you envisioned. So thank you for all who had to execute anything to do with it. Anything else for Nick?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Justice Gibson? All right, still on committee reports. Let's go ahead down the line to Budget and Finance, Justice Lahosky.
Thank you, Judge. Budget and Finance Committee met last week, chaired by Justice Moss, and we have two ordinances in front of the court tonight.
Thank you. And then Justice Kendrick, personnel.
Judge, personnel did not meet, and I don't have a report for the court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. Next on our agenda is public comments. And for those of you who's the first time here at a full court meeting, anyone in the public can step to the microphone and make a comment about anything that is on the agenda before the court today. Any public comment? Yes, sir. Step forward and identify yourself, please. Make sure you're close enough to the mic.
Sure. Tim Mosley. I live in Fargo County, Mayflower. And I want to thank the court for everything they do, especially the judge. I've worked with him with the River Plantation. I just thought I'd thank him for all the work he's helping with us. And I just thought I'd take this time to thank him for his time that he spends answering phone calls, all day with that, with the complaints or whatever, yeah. Whatever's going on. Try to handle a little bit more. But just appreciate it.
Thank you. I think you're the HOA or POA president, is that right? Yes. So thanks for what you do. You can talk about having a target. And
I do that in a lot of referee around here. It seems like I've got a target on that right now.
Thank you. You're having to navigate perilous waters on 100 issues a year. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moser. Anyone else? Moving right along, special reports. And I'm going to ask Mary Beth Gross, one of our county extension agents, if she's got a report today.
Yeah.
And we're going to put you on your special report to get you out of here a little sooner.
I don't, but I do. So we are having our extension tour that some of y'all have been on in the past. It's August 22nd. That should be a Friday. August 22nd, we're doing 9 a.m. till noon. So if you'll put that on your schedules, if you can block that off for us, that would be great. We're going to have the air-conditioned bus again this year. We've got some new spots. I don't think we're repeating any spots this year. So if you've been on it before, it's going to be all new. And even if you haven't been on before, it'll still be new for you. But that is a special time for all of the JPs, the county officials, to kind of come. We invite some other people, kind of stakeholders in the county, to come. And we try our best to consolidate extension into 3 hours so that you can meet some of the people that we work with most often, the impact that we're making in the county, and kind of give you a big perspective, a small version of a big perspective of what extension's doing. So August 22nd, 9 to noon. The other thing that our 4-H agent would get me if I did not mention is that pork butts are for sale. If you have not got a flyer or email, she is wonderful and persistent. And she helps our foundation raise a lot of money for those this year. So those orders are due Friday. $50, $55, depending on if you want them pulled or not, and then you will pick them up July 2nd or 3rd, so right before the holiday. So, yeah, you can get with me if you want to do that, but thank you.
They're done well, and you know what it is, you know, it's an event or a production to put on 4th, you know, to just do anything on 4th of July. You either want to do nothing, you're tired, you need to recoup, rest, or you've got people coming over, or you're going somewhere. It is, if you've never gotten one of their pork butts for 4th of July, you just pick up the pork butt, mm-hmm. and you're done.
You're done?
Yeah, it's awesome. You make sliders, tacos, or do whatever mm-hmm. with it.
They get another one put in the freezer. But we'll have a fish fry fundraiser in August. We're going to have our regular turkey breast fundraiser at Thanksgiving, and they've added a ham fundraiser at Christmas. So we've got a lot, but it's because our 4-H program has grown quite a bit. We have over 530, maybe 540 4-H members in the county, which is massive. That's bigger than pre-COVID numbers. So it's huge. So we need more money to send kids to camps and get some resources and stuff.
Yeah. All our extension programs are awesome. The 4-H, if you've never been involved and been a judge at, you know, any of their, you know, their disciplines, you'll have more fun or get more out of it than they do. But that, the pork butt or the ham or whatever, that is money well spent. You're in and out. If you enjoy smoking a, you know, a piece of meat, then have at it. You know, if you're not able to work that in, give them a call. How do they place an order by Friday?
You can call the extension office. If you've got Cammie's info, I think she emailed and put a flyer in your box maybe. So if you got that, you can get with her directly. Call the office. If you've got my cell, call, text me, whatever, and we'll put you on the list. Yeah.
Our ag roots run deep here. You hear me refer to it often. And we really appreciate you all. They've got a really well-run, fairly large organization. Tentacles in a lot of directions, and you know, not just with the children. I mean, everything from real crops to, you know, fruits and, you know, with homesteading and all of that. It's really classes and all of that. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
If it piques your interest for any of our public folks here today, how did they find it? Your website.
Sure, it's UADA. Which stands for University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture .edu, and from there, there's a, you know, a spot at the top where you can search for your county office, and so you just search for Faulkner, or if you've got family in other parts of the states, to find their own county office and get in touch with them and ask them about what programs they have coming up. I know we've got food preservation classes, canning jams and jellies and meats and vegetables, proper safety techniques to do those things at home, pressure painter testers so that hopefully they don't explode in your kitchen. Sourdough classes coming up, butter making classes coming up, lots of things that people are really interested in right now. Back in the day, people did a lot of these things to save money. The motivation has changed. It's not as much a financial motivation as it is a I know what's in my food motivation. And so we have had a huge resurgence and lots of questions. And the same thing, it affects my area for family consumer science, the same as Krista and Kevin, because people want to grow their own things, and so we're literally all in this together.
Yeah, and your footprint is one of the, I won't say leads the way in Arkansas, but obviously well respected, well represented. So thank you. Any questions for Mary Beth? Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
And if you can't remember that long URL, website, just Google Faulkner County Extension. You'll find it. Or call my office. Any other special reports that I'm missing? Next agenda item, old business. Any old business come before the court? By the way, I think the Hawks are scheduled to start at 6:30.
Yeah.
Late 30 minutes.
6:37.
If you are going to watch on your phone, just be sure to turn it down. Like me, I was in a meeting yesterday, and I had it on silent. And I could see, but I looked in the seventh inning, and it was still Gage Wood. I'm like, man, he might make a complete game. Walk out of the building and hear him say, 2 strikes left for a no-hitter. So, but anyway, you can find the details later. Just leave it on silent if you would. Moving right along to new business, we do have three ordinances and a resolution. First one is on tab number 3, Justices. That's going to be an appropriation ordinance. Justice Lahosky, if you'd like to brief us on it.
Yeah, Judge, I make a motion for the passage of proposed ordinance 25-17.
Second.
Your motion second now. Would you brief us on it?
Yes, sir. Court, this is all grant pass-through stuff for juvenile court.
All right, we have
three. Proposed ordinance 25-17 being enacted by the Coon Court, County of Fulton, the State of Arkansas, and the ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Fulton County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
All right, members, any questions? All right, Madam Secretary.
Yes, Your Honor. Coates.
Yes.
Kendrick.
Yes.
Nine.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meade.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorgi. Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. I was waiting on others. We're down a couple. Motion carries and 25-17 passes. Tab number four is proposed ordinance 25-18. That is an appropriation ordinance. Entertain a motion.
Judge, I make a motion for the passage of ordinance 25-18.
Second.
Motion second. Could we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-18, sponsored by the Budget Finance and Appropriation for full-time county officials and employees of the Assessor's Office in accordance with Act 357 of the 2023 fiscal session of the Arkansas Legislature, and to amend the annual operating budget for Fulton County, Arkansas for calendar year 2025.
Very good. Can we have a briefing of that one?
Yes, sir. Judge, this is our assessor's, what we refer to as the assessor's stipend. It's money that comes from the state based off of a state law. Basically, though, what we pay for in this is, I believe, the $382.50 for the Social Security matching that goes along with these stipends to the employees of the assessor's office. Certain employees, I believe, with the assessor's office.
Questions? All right, let's have the roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Coates.
Yes.
Kendrick.
Yes.
Nye.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meade.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorgi. Yes.
All right. Motion carries. 25-18 passes. Tab number five. Proposed ordinance 25-19, Kilarin Station. I'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, I'd like to put proposed ordinance 25-19 on the table for discussion.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Do we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-19, sponsored by Justice Strain, being enacted by the Coon Court, Fulton County, State of Arkansas. An ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to approve the filing of an application by Kilarin Station Incorporated for a private club to be located at 941 Highway 365, Mayflower, Fulton County, Arkansas, and to declare an emergency.
All right, Justice Strain, you want to brief us on this?
Yes, sir. Thank you. If you don't mind, I think Robin Jones has made a little pamphlet or handout for you guys, if she can hand that out to you, that would be helpful. So my spiel on the situation that we've got down there is that when they put the bypass in Mayflower, we had two restaurants, and the restaurants sold out, and they put a Bolero in, so we're down to one restaurant in our little town of Mayflower. Robin Jones and Rusty Waters bought a piece of distressed property that is actually a piece of historic property in the area. And instead of tearing it down and building a new building, which probably actually would have been cheaper, I think a lot of times it is cheaper, they are interested in preserving the history of the area. I think that that house was for a period of time used as a railroad stop. Very close to the railroad, it's right across the street from a historic marker, and it's right across the creek from the Army Corps of Engineers boat launch on the Kilarin Creek that allows access to the river. And actually, you can see it on the picture there that Rusty put up. So I'm not only do we are we excited about the prospect of having a good restaurant in our community that will provide dinner, the one that we have left mostly provides breakfast and lunch. So that's an outcry that you hear from most residents in the city of Mayflower that we don't have a good eatery in our area. There's a lot of places in Conway and in Maumelle across the county line in Pulaski County that have nice dinner restaurants with where they can serve a drink or have wine, a glass of wine with their meal, and that's what we're looking to achieve here in the south end of Mayflowers on the Pulaski County border. One reason that one thing that I think they're looking at is just, you know, with the competition that they have from Maumelle and from Conway, they're not sure that they can make the restaurant profitable, if they serve dinner. You know, they might be able to make a go of it just doing breakfast and lunch, I think, but wouldn't be able to make a good 4- or 5-star restaurant if they can't compete with Maumelle and Conway by allowing them to serve a glass of wine or a drink at the meal. So that's what we're looking for. I know it's a difficult situation since we are in a dry county, but really, if we don't give them the opportunity to do that, then we are actually putting the people, especially in their situation, being right across the county line from Pulaski, we're putting them at quite a disadvantage, I think, especially with Maumelle. And we're also losing revenue, but I don't know that that's going to break the bank. But I mean, definitely there is people going out of state or going into Conway, out of the county, I mean, to get their meal, especially people that live down on that end of the county. So if you guys don't mind, I'd like to invite Rusty and Robin up to just give you a brief overview of what they're planning to do with their restaurant.
Just please step to the mic and identify yourself for the record.
Robin Jones. Thank you all for allowing us to come and talk on behalf of this project tonight. I appreciate everything. I'm Robin Jones. This is Rusty Waters. We are the landowners of this project here that I have on this map. I'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. We live currently just across the highway 365 in the River Plantation. I have been in Mayflower for 18 years. Rusty has been in Mayflower for 25 years. Rusty's a real estate developer and has he bought 600 acres, which is now known as Stonehill Ranch Estates, which is the gated subdivision across the highway from the River Plantation. Really nice homes in there, beautiful area. And then also we converted the barn to a event venue back in 2019. And so we love our community. That's why we picked this place to do it. I'll tell you a little bit about the land. So the land that we bought is almost 27 acres. The land beside us is 160 acres. One of our friends and neighbors just bought it. It borders our property, Plant Station, and then also the 600 acres that Rusty originally bought 20 plus years ago. A little bit about the land. When one of our really good friends, Warren Wadded, most of y'all might know him from his Wadded Tree Service. The tree man, yes. And he passed away several years ago, and me and Rusty started kind of talking about what's going to happen. We want it to be pretty. We want it to stay pretty. We want to do something beneficial for our community in that area. So we bought the land, and it's great land. It's there's a lot of history that's happened there. I don't know if some of y'all know, but the Burks Baxter War took place. It was 150 years ago in last month or in May. And so they just had the sesquicentennial event last year. I've spoken with Ashley Sides at the Arkansas Historical Society multiple times, and also the Arkansas State Archives, wanting to preserve the area. And the old farmhouse is what we're turning into the restaurant. So anyway, just knowing that everything, the Battle of the Farm took place right there where the creek runs into the Arkansas River. The Battle of the Farm took place there. There was the Little Rock Fort Smith Railroad that's still there. Of course, it's changed names now, but back then it was the Little Rock Fort Smith Railroad, and the train station name was Plum Station, so that's where we got our name. We're calling the whole area Plum Station. The restaurant will be Creekside at Plum Station. So currently the house is 2,600 square feet. We are in the process right now of adding on a 2,000 square foot kitchen. The framers were out today, finishing that up, and we have good friends that are the restaurant owner and operators, Tim and Kim Smith. They are, we're building to suit the house into the restaurant for them. So we're really excited about that. I'll say that Tim has been in the restaurant business for 30 plus years. He's very, very experienced restaurant owner currently. And we look forward to him turning this into his voice. So in closing, I just want to say that I want to be clear, like, we are not here to promote alcohol at all. We are here to support the economic growth, honor the rich history and heritage of this land, and offer something special to our community that is competitive with the other areas around us. So we would all appreciate your yes vote. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Hi, y'all. I'm Michael Langley. I'm an attorney in Little Rock. I used to be the director of alcohol beverage control for the state. Happy to represent Robin and Rusty, and I just wanted to give y'all some basic information about this and let y'all know kind of where it sits with the county. The county currently has 64 active permits. That's in the top one or two in the state for alcohol availability, and alcohol became available here in under dry counties because of what's known as the Betty Pickett Amendment. I don't know if Justice Meeks was serving at the time, but the Betty Pickett Amendment came out of Faulkner County, and it is to allow restaurants to offer alcohol as an amenity. You have to serve food. You can't just be a bar. You're supposed to serve food, and the reality is so that economic development can move forward in counties and cities, and that's what has gotten us to this point in regards to restaurants. And the other part of it is wet dry doesn't come up on the ballot anymore. It's too hard to get it on the ballot because we've had so many changes on signature collection that I'd be surprised if we have another wet dry election in the state of Arkansas during my lifetime, unless somebody just decides to put, $10 million into something. This is supported by the people in the district nearby that would like to have a restaurant. They would like to have the ability to have a glass of wine there. This keeps them from having to drive in 8-10 miles either direction, which is great for the city of Conway, but it can still be something where you don't want to go have a glass of wine and drive back and do those things, maybe fall asleep. And those are concerns. Alcohol as an amenity is part of every restaurant business plan for somebody who wants to serve dinner and drink. This is not 600 people. This is literally a small, you can barely see it, but it's this little bitty house right here. that has, you know, 2,600 square feet, and it's not all open. It's chopped up. I'm not going to be able to put a whole lot of people in there. It's a small local community restaurant. And they would just like the opportunity to compete with everybody across the state and see, across this county, see what's going on. And those are the basics. I've spoken with Tim Smith, and we've discussed the processes and programs that are going to be in place to prevent alcohol being sold to minors or being overserved. ABC offers courses, and other people offer courses, and those are very important things that everybody needs to be taking part of. And I have a question so I can get some clarity. City Attorney, we've had some discussions tonight about the emergency clause, and I know it takes 9 votes. This is y'all's procedure, and I'm not going to tell you. With your procedure, it's 9 votes to pass the emergency clause, 7 to pass the ordinance, if that's correct.
Correct.
In other places that I've been, it has been, we'll consider the ordinance. If it gets 7, it passes, but no emergency clause. If it gets 9, it passes. Or is it, we're going to take the whole thing back to the starting spot if it doesn't get 9?
Yeah, I've not been aware. Mr. Murphy can correct me if I am just unaware. I'm not sure any of those have been shortcutted in any other way other than say, hey, you're going to start over. I'm not sure there's been a second run at anything that failed as the, with the emergency clause. It'll get 9 to that 7.
Yeah, we've never encountered that.
So, I mean, it's not like we pass, you know, 30 ordinances a month or anything. So.
Well, I'm aware of that. I think my clients have some, we've had some issues raised with us that it might be a question of amending, asking for an oral amendment to remove the emergency clause and have it considered just as a regular.
Yeah, certainly they can vote on whether to amend during this discussion.
Okay, that's
kind of corrected if Mr. Murphy, I see a glare over there. So no, they certainly could amend and do that all.
Your Honor, so if the emergency clause was removed, then that would the ordinance would have 3 readings and we'd vote on it in August?
Yes.
And then it would require 7?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I think is what my client would like, if somebody's willing to make that motion to remove the emergency clause.
It's my ordinance, and I'm certainly willing to strike Section 4, which is the emergency clause. I guess I'd like to hear some feedback from the court. You guys, are you concerned about the emergency clause or not? Or how do you guys feel about it? I haven't heard much discussion.
Probably appropriate to get a second and then just dive right in.
Second.
Okay, so Justice Lyon. All right, Justice String.
Just a point of order, Judge. I don't know if this, Judge Strain made a motion on anything. I mean, I know he motioned at the beginning for probably the passage of the ordinance, but I don't know if that was necessarily a motion to strike the emergency clause.
Is the motion you just made to strike the emergency clause?
I guess I'll make that motion.
Keep a second.
I got a second.
All right, any discussion?
Mr. Judge. Can Mr. Murphy just clarify the motion?
Yeah, my understanding is the motion is to both amend the title to delete the final 5 words there that would end with Arkansas, and then to delete Section 4, which says that the Corn Court finds an emergency and declared exists, and the ordinance shall be in full force and effect on the day of its passage. Both of those would be deleted.
Thank you.
Further discussion?
I have a point of order question as well. Related to the number of votes required for passage, is that irregardless of the number of JPs present, it would require 9 to pass the votes?
9 to pass or so to amend?
9 to pass the ordinance with the emergency clause.
Oh, yeah. It's just to be a majority, right? On the motion to amend?
So on the motion to amend, it's just a majority.
majority of 13 JPs, regardless of how many residents. Require 7 votes on the motion. Further discussion or questions?
Hi, Judge. I believe the attorney made a good point, so that applicants would have no issue with this potentially taking 3 months.
That's correct.
If it's valid to.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Just a strange motion to amend the ordinance as presented. In other words, the strike the emergency clause and the title and other framing language to accommodate that. Essentially, changing it from the emergency ordinance, which requires a vote of 9 in our quorum court, to pass that down to 7, a simple majority, but requiring three readings. 3 monthly readings. Tonight, of course, will be the first.
Last week in our committee, we had a really good discussion about it, and it was my understanding last week that it was kind of an urgent nature to get this passed by a certain time. So I'm wondering what has changed between last week and today.
The urgent nature is just to be able to get it in front of the ABC. They have their own deadlines, and to take this, the construction starting on the kitchen makes things a little different. Getting into a period of season where hopefully there's no rain or anything, but slowed down a little bit, and we decided that it is in the best interest of us and the community not to be in a hurry. We're trying to respect what we thought was some feedback from the community as a whole.
Further questions or discussion?
Sir.
Justice Strain, if you have a question.
Did you have a question?
Well, I just got a statement. I own all the property around him.
Oh.
And I have 3 businesses in town. I have Christmas parties every year and quite big ones. And the property he has is a great piece of property, and I look forward to having a nice steak dinner and a glass of wine, as you say, Mr. Strain, at his place. So I own every piece of property around him. So long story short, I look forward to having that. So the community supports it, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Thank you.
I didn't mean to interrupt anybody, but.
No, that's okay.
I can't hear for the reasons. I might as well give you my opinion, right?
That's fine.
Could I ask, just by a show of hands, how many of the people here are in support of this restaurant?
All of us.
Thank you. One other thing I wanted to bring up is that they are also working with the Army Corps of Engineers to try to fix up the deteriorating park and boat ramp that's across the creek from them. Take over the upkeep of that park too. So they're really making an effort to improve the area, and it is kind of an economically depressed area. I'd really like to see some economic growth in that area, and I think this is a great way to start. I appreciate your support.
Any other discussion on the motion to remove the emergency? Justice York.
I have another just point of or clarification. So if we extended the to 3 readings for this, would it be on the agenda for discussion at each of the 3 quorum court meetings, or would it only be on the agenda available for public comment?
Yeah. Well, I'll defer to the county attorney.
It's on the agenda for discussion. So everyone can discuss.
That was part of the reason, too, that, I guess my concern about, I didn't want it to seem like we were trying to rush it through, even though, it kind of is a rush because they're in the construction process, and there is, it does put them in a little bit of a
bind if we drag it out, but I don't want it to seem like we're trying to rush it through in the dark of night or something. I think it's, you know, leave it open for public comment, and because they're above board with everything they're doing. They're very well-known people in the community and have a vested interest in seeing this succeed, and have a vested interest in also assuring that it doesn't deteriorate the area that they're in, because they own the property there, you know. So, I mean, everything about this project motivates them to do a good job with the family restaurant. So anyway, I appreciate you guys' consideration.
Justice Coach, you have a question or comment with regard to the motion?
Just a comment. This ordinance came before Courts and Public Safety this last week, and I was a tie vote to move it forward to full court, not necessarily because I was in favor of the ordinance, but we had three committee members there, and I felt like this was a heavy burden on our county, our citizens, and our court. And I felt like that all of, out of respect for my fellow justices, that we needed to have the opportunity for all of us to discuss this and vote on it. So that's why it was moved from committee into full court. So not necessarily a rush, but at the same time, I felt like it was something that all of us needed to have the opportunity to discuss.
Thank you. Just shot.
Chairman Ghost, do you recall it, the 9-vote threshold being mentioned last week? Was that for the emergency vote? Was that known last week?
I don't remember that. I think I just.
I don't recall any specific discussion.
Meek said that they were in a hurry last week, and now they're not in a hurry.
My understanding for the rush part of things was that there was an August deadline that they were trying to meet, and maybe their construction was going to change a little bit based on if they got a liquor license. They may do their construction part of the interior. And I may be speaking out of time. That framing and all that kind of stuff may be a little bit different. You know, if they were able to have a liquor license versus not. And I think I asked too, it was separated out. The alcohol area was separated with a wall from the restaurant part. I think that may have been part of what they were trying to determine if they needed that or not. But I remember the 9 being discussed particularly.
So the motion is whether or not to drop the emergency clause. Any discussion on whether to drop the emergency clause? After this motion, the motion in main, or the ordinance, will still be before you for general discussion about the ordinance. Any other emergency clause discussion? We'll have a roll call vote if there's none any further. Madam Secretary, roll call vote. This requires 7 votes.
Coates.
This is to amend the ordinance, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Should have restated that. Yes, this would be, if you vote yes, you're voting to remove the emergency clause. And then the ordinance would, before you, would just be in front of you for the purposes of its first reading. You can certainly still discuss it, but it would not be voted on tonight. Any questions, or do I need to clear anything else up, Mr. Murphy?
No more questions. I think you cleared it up.
Further questions on whether or not to drop the emergency clause? Okay, so Madam Secretary, roll call vote. So if you vote yes, you're voting to drop the emergency clause.
Coates.
Yes.
Hendricks.
Yes.
Nye.
No.
Plotsky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meigs.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Shaw.
No.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
No.
Dorkey.
Yes.
8 yeses.
8-3.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so motion carries. The emergency clause is dropped. Certainly, if you have further discussion, if you want, there'll be no motion. There'll be no vote on whether to pass the ordinance tonight. Any further questions or comments?
Just one question, Judge, if the court doesn't mind.
Go ahead.
This may not be a court question. This may be more for the attorney or ABC. Is there any other notifications that's required by ABC other than the court posting a notice for our meeting? Does ABC require anything extra
for the public? No, sir. The requirement is a consideration for your permission to allow a application to be filed.
Okay. I just wanted to check, see if there was any, if you had to deal with adjacent owners. I know this, pretty much all this land is vacant and is vacant around them. Just checking on public notice on that.
So. No, sir. If it goes to the ABC, there's a further publication notice.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you all for showing up tonight, and thanks for sending the emails. I know myself, I don't always respond, but I do read them, so thank you for making your voice heard and showing up and participating.
Further questions or comments? Did you get everything you needed, Mark? Just shorty?
Yeah, I have a couple of clarifying questions. First, about the liquor license itself. So if this restaurant was awarded a liquor license from the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, if they provided a catering service to, say, the event venue that they have, would the liquor license allow them to also cater alcohol?
Not at this time, okay.
Okay, so it would be limited to on-premise?
Limited to that 2,600 square foot house right there. That is it. Canning, all this land they have out around that's on the house, or you can't go out, you can't go down the stairs and out of the house. You're stuck with what's contained within the house.
And then another question about the restaurateur that you have retained to operate the business. Does he have experience operating another restaurant with a liquor license?
No, I do not. However, I have done a lot of research on how successful businesses maintain a good professional environment serving alcohol. You know, you can get a POS system that you scan your driver's license, and that'll tell them right then and there they're of age. You know, after your third beverage, you have to meet the manager. The manager has to come over and evaluate your behavior, your circumstances, transportation home, and decide if you can get that extra. Things like that will, beverage training will be top priority. And I did have a little presentation too. I'll make it short because a lot of you guys have already heard it.
Just identify yourself again if you would.
My name is Ken Smith, and I will be the owner and operator of the restaurant. I have over 30 years experience running restaurants. I spent most of my career at Waffle House. I was area manager responsible for over 30 restaurants. So I have some leadership skills there. And in 2017, I decided that I wanted to get out of the 24-hour business and open up my own restaurant. I opened up Pepper Mill Cafe and Grill in 2017. And I've been owner and operator of that restaurant for 7.5 years. So, with my experience, I do know all the concerns of serving alcohol, and I intend on being a benefit to the community and not a nuisance. They don't work with the law enforcement to make sure that we're doing the right thing, and we're assisting them, and we're not a burden on them. The plan for the restaurant, we're going to be a full-service, family-oriented restaurant. We're not going to be a late-night bar where you hang out here until midnight. We're only going to serve alcohol and dining hours only. And our goal for hours is to eventually, maybe not in the beginning, to open up at 11 o'clock in the morning and close down at 9 o'clock at night. No alcohol served after that. We'll definitely follow all the ABC rules, and I have been through the seminars for the ABC to learn about all the rules. Already taking some action there. And I do feel, it's already been mentioned, but I have to say I'm the one that's put my neck out on the chopping block with, you know, opening up a restaurant. I feel like that without that option to serve liquor, and they had it right down the road in Maumelle, or to drive to Conway, or, by the way, right across the creek is a bar and two liquor stores, right on the other side of the creek. We're not going to be disturbing anybody because it's on 26 acres. know, and I know that I understand that in the past it's been voted down, but this is some special circumstance. In this case, all those, the privacy of the 26 acres, the experience of the operators, the experience of the developers that's developed that whole area and done a great job with it. The circumstance that there's a liquor store already there and a bar. You know, I just ask that you take all that into consideration and support us with the liquor license. And the most important thing is, to me, that we have the support of the community. I also live in River Plantation, and if I walk down the road, every neighbor stops me. When are you going to open the restaurant? When will we go get a dinner and a glass of wine? You know, the support is definitely there. And then they add something else to the menu with other suggestions. Is there any questions for me about the restaurant?
Just Sean, you said you're planning on closing at 9.
Open at 11. Now, we may have some scaled down hours because I know that in the beginning, trying to hire people and having enough people is quite a challenge in training them. We may have some scaled down hours in the beginning, and the goal is 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Let's say the court votes in favor of this, is there anything that's saying that you can't say we're going to stay up until 2 a.m. now?
I will. I'll say that. I don't want to be there until 2 a.m.
I mean, legally speaking.
I do not have an answer to that.
Derek, you guys, given this situation, will probably be able to step in. You authorize this. I've never had this situation arise, but ABC is very attentive to, if you're going to change your operation, the city community doesn't like it, then they're going to respond with, we're going to shorten your hours. And if they can put it in by order through them, and that would come, you know, judge called and said they were having this issue, law enforcement, we would be able to do this. But I can tell you, their whole goal is to be exemplary corporate citizens of this county. They want everybody to look towards them when they're looking at putting something in and realize this guy's set the bar.
So, and I don't think they're
2007 or 2015.
I don't think there's a big demand for a 2 a.m. bar. I think there is a demand for a restaurant.
I think there might be. I mean, this county had a long time.
Maybe, but it will not be my record.
I'm saying some stuff, but I'd rather not talk about it.
Thank y'all again for your consideration.
Thank you. Further questions or discussion? Justice Meeks.
Thank you. Restaurant owner or gentleman there said so this is a special circumstance, which I can understand. But the problem that I haven't gotten over is the fact is, again, as Justice Shock said, we approved this thing. What then is to keep other folks from coming in and saying, oh, you approved this one, now we got to approve this one? Because folks in my district, even though, you know, Conway has it, maybe McMahon wants it, folks in my district for Greenbrier have absolutely said we do not want that at all in our area.
So, and I will tell you this from having the ABC experience, because before this law was passed, this was all on ABC. And ABC did not rubber stamp every single application. You got to sit down, you look at it, you have the right to say, in this community, like here, there's support. In Greenbrier, there's no support. They show up, and you hear from these folks, you guys have the right to say, this is not the right place and time for this. And you can turn it down. They don't really have any recourse because they have to get through here to get anywhere further. Y'all are the hammer in these situations. And so, now if it gets to ABC, then you can, if it passed you, you can still go to ABC and object. That's a whole other system. But you guys, it's a case-by-case basis. Just the fact that they got it granted, they meant certain things that made you comfortable that this was an appropriate place. I think you see that. I'm sure that there are other things that come up before this committee, I mean before the quorum court, that you guys were, this is a good option, this is a bad option. It's the same consideration. It's just a different type of ordinance. But I believe you'll have all the power in the world
to control whether you decide, yes, we should or shouldn't.
Goodell, further.
Judge, all right. I want to make one more statement that we discussed through Corn Court, or through committee. I have struggled with this. Struggled. And I was prepared to vote on this tonight. My reasoning behind that is the outpouring from the community support has hit hard, as well as the support from the JP for that district. When I asked my constituents and the citizens in my district, it was adamantly, we are against any alcohol in my district. It didn't matter. Vast majority. So that was very telling to me. However, the vast majority of them also said, if that's what those people want, then that's fine. But they don't want it in our district. And so that has been my struggle, is because I don't want to be the slippery slope. But then I look at it too, and I also go, I have no problem saying no when somebody comes back and asks if I don't agree with, you know, and if it's something that my constituents are against. And in this case, they definitely are. So that's kind of where I have sat so far. I've fallen back on the JP for that district as well as the community surrounding it.
Just straight.
There's one question that came to my mind, and I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot necessarily, but I just was wondering in the back of my mind, is that anybody that doesn't want a restaurant for Mayflower makes me wonder if you're against it, have you ever eaten at any of the restaurants in Conway that serve alcohol? You know, I just think that's worth thinking about. You know, it's why is it okay there, but it's not okay for Mayflower? So I don't know. That, just in my mind, that was, I think, worth thinking about. You know, my quick response to that would be, I don't think it should be okay anywhere. To the traps. Yeah, I understand.
I've seen a lot of stuff. I will never think that more alcohol being consumed is the answer. I just don't. And I think that if everybody in this court had seen what I've seen, they would agree with me. That's just my take on it, and I've got a lot of experience to make me think that way.
I'm assuming you're talking about as sheriff.
Since about the late 90s until present, yes.
Just to emphasize again, thank you, Andy. I respect your opinion.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, we can
respectfully disagree, and that's what we learn stuff like this.
I was just thinking about, you know, I sometimes go to the Republican Women's Meeting at Mike's. He serves alcohol there. I've just never seen anybody come out of their restaurant staggering, you know. And I don't think that would happen at this restaurant either. So I just wanted to have a fair shake, you know. I think it's an economic disadvantage for them not to be able to compete with them. And it's not our fault that they serve alcohol at the restaurants in Conway, but it's the world we live in, you know. So I just don't want Mayflower to be at an economic disadvantage, because they're surrounded by Maumelle that is growing economically. There's Conway on the other end is growing economically, and it's just like a dead zone in there. You know, I'd really like to see some growth in that area. So anyway, that's just me.
Further discussion? So let me think, before we move on and move to a different topic, we won't have any more discussion. You're free to leave, you're free to stay. I would say this. Those of you who are at the committee, and I was just an observer there, I don't participate in committee meetings by position at all, but I told several of you afterward, I think you'll be impressed when you see the deliberations. If you've ever been president, and I know the former director has been at various venues, you don't see this professionalism which I believe you're entirely entitled to as citizens of Faulkner County. This is pretty impressive. I don't know how many of you have been around up at city councils, school board meetings, or county meetings, or all due respect to former state rep, Mr. Meeks, David Meeks, the captain. So I want to thank each one of you. You just saw a couple very professionally on different ends of the spectrum here currently tonight agree and profess to you all they can disagree on the issue and not have problems. So if you came here and you think, oh my gosh, it's going to be a three-ring circus, we don't have that here. We work very hard to avoid that here. And that takes all 14 of us plus other elected officials and representatives. So anyway, I want to thank, first of all, thank our court for that professionalism. This was, a topic that gets very explosively passionate in other areas. We didn't do that. I thank you for that, each one of you. And thank our applicants. I will say that I've been arresting Robin for, and Mr. Mosley for a while, probably others I can't see clearly with because all I've got is reading glasses, but I have to always draw attention to Rusty's, I call you Rusty Waters or Acres? I've got two. It's Rusty Waters. 2014 tornado, former Sheriff Shock. You'll recall that Mr. Waters gave us use of his pretty large shale pit on the north side of Stone Hill Ranch Estates, free of charge. And we hauled more than 1,100 dump truck loads of debris from the plantation only, not the other 21 and three-quarter miles of that path. And so, as I have said in front of people continually, we will always be indebted to you for that. You did not have to do that. But our whole county, not just the government, but the people owe you thanks for that. But I will say, I don't have nothing to do with this decision. I think seen how objective these folks can be, but I've got the microphone and I had to thank you again for that. So I appreciate everything you've done. It's always first class. So I don't think you're going to have anybody not like that business plan or the concept as you intend to apply it unless they're against the concepts altogether. I'll summarize what I saw at the committee meeting. I think the concerns there are probably on the whole, not this would be the slippery slope, A, legally, which we got a pretty good explanation on tonight, and then B, practically speaking, dealing with the public and threats of litigation if you don't do blanket approvals in every case. I mean, you run the gamut of that. I would not misunderstand any hesitation here on the whole. I think if you have anything that do not understand, I urge you to contact Justice Strain. You can call my office. Call me. Justice Shaw.
Judge, I'm going to have to lean on my tenured colleagues here, and I don't recall which year it was. I'm going to say it was 2018, maybe 2019. We had someone ask for a permit, and it was granted. You got the majority of the votes. And then county judge at the time, Jim Baker, vetoed that. Yeah, all that Roosters 36 and 64.
Yes.
What were the numbers that were required after a county judge veto?
Two thirds.
Okay, thank you.
2/3, which would be how many votes, Councilor?
Nine
votes. So the mechanics there are, if it does not have the emergency clause, you got to have 7 votes. County judge can veto that. County judge is probably going to pay attention to how the votes go. If you don't have 9 votes, it would not likely overcome that veto. It's just basic civics 101. So, good point to bring up. Further comments? Thank you so much. Like I said, you're welcome to stay. Welcome to leave. Thank you all. Tab number 6, proposed resolution 25-07, Arkansas 250 celebration. Justice Cookson, do you have this one to read?
Yes, sir. I would like to put resolution 25-07 on the table for discussion.
Second.
Reading, please.
Fauquier County Coroner Court Resolution Number 25-07 be resolved by the Coroner Court County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, and the resolution to be entitled to a resolution to recognize the Arkansas 250 Commission as it begins its work to celebrate Arkansas's rich 250-year history from the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776 through July 4, 2026.
Very good. It's pretty self-explanatory. So this is part of the nationwide push. Or Justice Coach, if you want to go ahead and brief us on it, I'll be happy to, or you can.
Either one is fine. My understanding is that it is just a resolution that shows our support for beginning the planning and being prepared for the 250-year celebration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, and so there's a big push at AAC, the Judges Association. Judge Dale James, Van Buren County, is kind of spearheading that, and he's the judges, the AAC's representative in a 250th coalition, I believe, federal, state, and local, and of course it's in Arkansas that we're supporting this. Effort to recognize that, and it's about 250 years since our nation's beginning, signing of the Declaration of Independence. And so this resolution would express support from Faulkner County, that you are expressing support for those efforts to recognize that, federal, state, and local. And you'll see various degrees of celebration and involvement across our state and across the nation. You'll see it. As we draw closer to that, the governor really put together an outstanding video. I'm not sure if it's hit the web yet, but it really just, you know, it ignites the, you know, the feels and nostalgia. And, you know, it's really a big deal. You can either blow it off, you can actually recognize Arkansas has been here, not as a state, but Arkansas has had population here, and our heritage has run since 1776, as our nation was born, and it's to celebrate that. That's what I know. So, all the counties are being asked to pass this. There's probably only a handful left. The way our county, our core board meetings fall, we'll be among the last to pass it. I expect all counties to pass it. And we're looking into, you know, doing something appropriate here in the county. We, of course, keep you guys in the loop. We want to be appropriate and tasteful and not miss the opportunity to really put ourselves forward. So questions or comments? All in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Do you oppose? Motion carries. The ordinance, excuse me, resolution passes. Next, we have no appointments this month. Next one we need to do after that is announcements. Any announcements remaining?
Judge,
what is the score?
If I can, I would like to clarify. Justice LaHosse did bring my attention that a veto override is 3/5, not 2/3. So that would be 8 votes.
That rings a bell. Yeah. So 3/5, is it 9 votes or is that 8? Okay. Numbers, you've got to learn how to count if you're going to be 8.
I like their number better.
Any announcements? I do want to thank you. It's just the county here now. I, other than the viewers on live stream, but I do want to really express my appreciation for you all. That's not a topic to be taken lightly, and you didn't do that. You stayed professional. Show the public how you do business. I appreciate that. Anything else?